purification of the Jews, containing two or three virgins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up with brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not where it was, but the servant which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning that set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to look at somebody's face with all the ebullience in you and tell the person, empty it.
Empty it.
I didn't hear you. Tell the person, empty it. Look at somebody who's looking very intimidated, boring, and tell the person, empty it.
Empty it.
If somebody's sleeping and you look at the face, and it doesn't look like charismatic, born again Christian, and it's looking like a Presbyterian born again Christian, I want you to go and tell the person, empty it.
Empty it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, in 20 minutes, I would want to put these scriptures together. Amen.
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 Believers of today have a tendency by picking up preachers. I ran a radio ministry with Dr. Eric for some time, so I know how it is. When I'm not in town and I'm not able to go on radio, when I check the number of listeners, obviously I'll be able to pick how many people are listening. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes when we preach in church, there are three groups of people in church. There are those who want to know who preached it. There are those who want to know how it was being said. And there are those who operate in the wisdom arena. They don't care who preached it. They don't care how it was being said. But all that they are interested in is what he said. You didn't catch it? Hallelujah. All that they are interested in is what he said. Amen. So scripture, the way scripture unfolds, scripture also unfolds in three dimensions. Sometimes it is based on who said it, it is based on how it was said, but sometimes it doesn't really matter who said it and how it was said. Amen.
Amen.
What is really, really important is that what is being said. And so when I read the first scripture, which is Hosea chapter number 11, chapter number 10, the verse number 12, I was trying to research and read about the scripture. And I put into what we call semantic parallelism in theology, which is the ability to be able to look at the patterns of lines of scriptures and how it was being said. And I picked these three scriptures we have just read, and I came into one context. It's like just as we have just said, it says the whole the same thing, but it says it in a different context. Hallelujah. So that it is not who said it. It's not of how it was said, but the question is, how was it? The question is, what is being said? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And so being a prayer conference and the powerful message and the powerful prayers we prayed before, I was beginning to get worried about where this whole thing was going. I was thinking, is this believers not going to be very tired to the next round of events, because after we have dealt with the demonic interaction that hinders us in ministry and life, then the next thing to do is to make sure that you activate and appropriate those blessings that are waiting for you. Are we going somewhere?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so the Bible said that it was this minor prophet who God has spoken to, and because of time, he will not go into his life experience when God told him to pick up a whore woman to marry and give birth to whore children for sign as to how the people of Israel have rejected God. And so if a prophet in that capacity, who everybody wanted to marry, a very civilized and trained, educated, and for that matter, a pastor's daughter, and didn't go on that line, possibly we will not be taking his prophecy serious. Are you catching where I'm going? So we would be wondering, where is this guy's prophecy coming from? Hallelujah. But this is what he said. He said that, sow yourself righteousness, and thou shalt reap mercy. Show yourself, sow unto yourself righteousness, and thou shalt reap mercy. And as I was reading around it, it was one philosopher that said in a very nice way, and this is how he put it. This is the way he said it. He said, what you sow in your life determines your failure or your success. I'll say it again. What you sow in your life determines your failure or your success. And so this generation who didn't come out of Egypt but now has simply forgotten where God brought them from, hallelujah, and it was under the era of the judges. And so they were led by one judge who was very righteous and religious and knew the precepts of God. And then he will now leave the scene, and another judge come in with a new philosophy, new idea, new governance, new way of doing things, new king, new law. And so they were being pushed here and there, and they didn't understand what to do, and some of them led them astray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the prophet comes in, and this is what he said. Break off your fallow ground. For us, it might be an agriculture term, because as at that primitive time and as at that dispensation, the means of language or communication or the means of production was agriculture. And so lots of the interpretation must come through agriculture. For example, if you have a pastor who is a lecturer, almost all his sermons carry lecturing principle and languages and examples. Hallelujah. We had one lecturer, and he always does around stuff. So one day we were caught in town without Ezeat. And when he came back to campus, he said, from the genesis of the term, he's a lecturer and he's a preacher, a Methodist preacher. And so he's speaking all his sentences from the Bible. He said, from the genesis of the term, some students have been exodusing themselves. And I am going to use my Leviticus powers to deuteronomize their activities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so if you have a banker, if you have a banker who is your pastor, all his illustrations, all his examples, all his sentences are made out of what? Banking field. And so as at this prophet coming out of agriculture, his language was simple. And so he said, therefore break up your fallow ground. But as I thought about the scripture, as I reasoned through the scripture, as I asked the Holy Ghost to direct my course, I understood that where this generation was coming from, they were torn apart. And so situations have taken over them. And so psychologically, they were depressed. Psychologically, they were taken over. They were a nation who couldn't fight anymore. Why? Because they have come to accept and understand their condition and situation, that wherever we are, it is well with our soul. It is well with our soul. And so the prophet comes in, and this is what he said, that break up your fallow ground. Because if I am talking to preachers, some of us become so depressed, some of us become so confused, some of us are so spoken to, some of us, the things you hear concerning you, but the same people you pray for, the same people you counsel, the same people you use money on, the same people you help, the same people you lead, the same people you govern, the things they say concerning your life, it depresses you to the point that sometimes you give up in the realm of the spirit, and your anointing is choked, and your blessings are choked, and your influences are depreciated. And so this is what the prophet is saying. It has come to an era that you have to what? Empty that place and make sure that you become productive again. Because that word fallow, or empty up, or clear the fallow ground, is simply having allowed tear to take over the land. Jesus said the other day that when the man planted good soil, planted good seed and left, another man also came and planted tear, and they were both growing side by side. But after we have done the harvesting, we let the tear on the ground. Look, when a land hasn't been affected for a very long time, other generations and other things come to preoccupy the place. And so the land has been preoccupied. Some of us, we are still flowing in the anointing. But listen to me, if you are able to empty what you have now, hallelujah, and feed it a new anointing, then you will be able to make sense, because productivity will start to come. Sometimes our ideology is to follow precepts, systems, SWOT analysis, programming, evaluation, but sometimes those evaluations and those things does not work. Help, because it is a spiritual thing, it is not physical. The Bible said when they sent, when the MC took hold of the wine, he said that in every way, in every environment, or in every feast, we bring forth the good wine first. And when it is finished, then we bring that which is not very nice for people to drink. But I also heard in the scripture that the later glory of the temple shall be greater than the former. It means that in calculation and in analysis, we bring the best first before the other things come in. But in the spiritual realm, what happens is that the bad stand first, but then the later glory shall set in and change the former. So they said that, why did you keep this wine and brought it now? They forgot that they are dealing with a man who knows scripture, and who lives in scripture, and who understands scripture, and who knows scripture. And so he brings in the best in you at the later stage. Listen, I came to announce to you that they think this is your end, and they think this is how far you can get to. But after we have emptied you and put a new oil in you, you shall become quicker and faster than anything. Listen, yesterday I had a dream concerning this message, and I saw a car hijacked, and I saw that they were servicing the car, and I saw that they emptied the bottom of the car and brought all the oil, and they sealed it again. Then they poured another oil in. Then the Lord told me, this is what I have sent you to go and do. Go and empty your people. And when they are empty, and their vessels are clean, and their vessels are what? Are solidified. Then I can also fill their vessels again. And when their vessels are full, it is time to manifest themselves. Now listen, when Jesus told them, fill the barrel to the brim, it was empty, and they filled it. And when they had filled it, the Bible said, he told them, now fetch it and go and serve. And when they began to fetch it, they gave it to the commander of the feast before. And he tested, and he saw that it was wine. Hallelujah. And he realized that it was better than before. And then he gave it to the man who did the whole show. And he said that this one is better than the one we have been drinking before. Now listen to me. When you are emptied and another one comes into you and you are filled up, yesterday you were sweet, but the sweetness of this another shall be greater than the former sweetness that you experience. And then he said unto them again, he said unto them, that you brought the wine which was better. You brought the wine which is better at the later stage, because everybody is leaving. Sometimes in your ministry life, as you progress, preach to the same people, they come to understand your faces, they come to understand your revelation, they come to understand how you are able to digest the Bible. And so they become used to you. And so in a certain condition and time,
they are able to predict how you preach and how your analysis will come in. But when you are empty and you are filled, they have already drinking the old wine. But then when the fresh one came, they still were able to consume it. They were full. They had drinking the wine. They had ate. There was no space in their body. But when this new wine came, it was sweeter. And so they couldn't resist it. Listen, after we have emptied you today and poured a fresh anointing in you, it will be the same message. It will be the same preacher. It will be the same Bible. It will be the same church member. But the results have been different. The results have been different.
You are not here.
The results have been different.
Our anointing is full of rubbish. Our anointing is full of garbages. People dump their garbages on us. And so our anointing is not flowing the way it is meant to flow. And so the scripture said that break your fallow ground. And once the fallow ground is broken and the land is tilted, then there will be a time for new production, freshness, ability. And so Jesus did the same, that when the barrel were empty and the drinks were gone and there was no expectation, it was not time to fill it. It was an ordinary water. Listen to me. When you are empty and water is poured into your container and it is full, Christ has a means of making that water sweet. Christ has a way of making that water sweet. And so this is what we have come to do, is to empty the old anointing. No one buys a new wine and pour it into an old container. But if it is a new wine, it must be a new container. And so we cannot put fresh oil and fresh anointing into a contaminated anointing. What we need to do is to empty the container, clean it up, rinse it, wash it, pour a new wine in. And once the new anointing touches you, listen, anybody that takes it shall experience sweetness. And fill it. Then he told them, fill it up. Then when they have filled it up, he told them, serve. Then he said, the first shot must go to the empty. Listen to me. When you are filled, your influence starts from the top, not from the bottom. When you are filled, your influence starts from the top, but not to the bottom. You give one instruction, and there are 1,000 people running with it. But when your anointing is dirty, you start influencing people from the beneath. That is where your ears open up, and you are listening to what the people are saying concerning the church. But listen, when you carry a fresh anointing, you don't have time for what somebody is saying in the congregation. You don't have time for how they manage your message. Either your message is good or not, because at the end of the day, it is a resource. It is a resource we are looking for. And so, the message has come. It's not about who said it. It's not about how it was said. It's not about when it was said. But what message came? And so Jeremiah also came in the equation. And he was talking to the nation of Moab. And he said, now let me break scripture here. When Isaac wanted to bless his son, and either by foul play, whatever he was, it was changed. And he came to his father and said to him, haven't you got any other blessing for me? And the man said, there's no blessing. But listen, what shocked me, the other day when I read the Bible, the following day, the father called the younger son and told him, your brother is looking to kill you. And so ran away. Then the father blessed him again with another 5 blessings. Yesterday, Esau said to him, father, haven't you got any blessing to bless me? The man said that I have emptied my vows for a blessing.
Then the following day,
Jacob came to him and he said, even though you take your brother and took your brother's blessing, your brother is looking to kill you. And so you have to leave the land. And the Bible said, the man now told the son, come closer and I'll bless you. And he blessed him. And the blessing he gave you, 5 more blessings, including the blessings of Abraham. So Papa had another 5 blessings in his belly, but decided not to give to Esau. But as I checked the scriptures later, in Genesis chapter number 36, verse number 26 coming down, the Bible said that these are the Enos that came out of the loins of Esau. 11 of them, they were Enos, they were kings, they owned nations. And so, picking up from there, the Bible said, when you read Genesis 36, the verse number 26 coming down, the Bible said, and so these are the kings of Esau before Israel ever put a king on the throne. Now let me work it. Now Israel went for slavery for how many years? For 430 years. We are doing mathematics. After 430 years, now they were what? Vindicated, emancipated, and they walked through the wilderness for another 40 years. That's 470 years. And 470 years, they settled on the land. And the time of the judges took another 540 years. So 470 plus 540 years, if you put together, we are talking about nearly 1,000 years before they were able to put a king on the throne. And so Jeremiah said, Edom, who is Esau? His progression, his breakthroughs, his exposure has remained in him because he has not been emptied into containers and vessels. Are you catching the spirit? Because he has been comfortable since Genesis chapter number 36. He has been extremely comfortable because he has been king since Genesis. But Israel came all the way to 1 Kings to be able to put a king on the throne. So they have been emptied. And so they understand what we call production. They understand what we call when you go down, the Lord shall lift you one more up. But Edom didn't understand that because he has been very comfortable. And so the Lord said to him, cursed be a man who does the work of God haphazardly, because you have not been empty. Listen, as a preacher, occasionally, your anointing will become contaminated with the things that are said about you and the things you face, and sometimes the things we touch. Jesus said, somebody had touched me, but he was going through the midst of people. It means that something touched him that was not supposed to touch him. So there are so many things that touches us that we are not meant to touch. I remember in the Bible, even when a priest go before a dead body, he was meant to sanctify himself 7 days before he appears before God. And so we are contaminated every now and then. But the caveat is that once you are emptied and a new one come into you, the contamination leaves you. And so Moa has been very comfortable from day one because all things are moving smoothly. His congregation is very responsive. The choir is singing Fanta Bruta. The drummers come to church normally. The tithe and offering is not depreciating. And so all occasions are moving on swiftly. And because of that, the pastor is happy. And his messages keep on what? Coming. And occasionally we drop in a vision and revelation because everything is under control. But listen, sometimes the Lord must cause pain in your body.
Yes.
That the pain might empty you. Yes. The pain might empty you. And when the pain empty you, then you have to be reprogrammed again. So Noah has been very comfortable. He hasn't moved anywhere. He's been where he is. He has been so comfortable because his life has been programmed and is moving according to plan. But the Lord said, therefore, I shall send trouble to you.
and the trouble shall cause him to be empty. The reason why God wants that message to cut across is that he has to be empty. Listen, you have to be empty. Tell somebody, you have to be empty.
Amen.
You are not here. Tell me, you have to be empty. Because if you are not empty, you can't be sweet.
Yes.
We get used to the same thing. Why do you cook and do a soup, pepper soup? And 3-4 days later, the pepper soup is not finished. But you want to do another one. What happened to the other pepper soup? Is it not the same pepper soup? But you see, as the days go by, it dies off. And so you need a fresh one.
Yes.
So to sum up my message this afternoon, when the Lord said to them, break up your fallow ground, he's looking for freshness.
Amen.
He's looking for new beginning.
Amen.
He's looking for a place that he'll be able to send up his word.
Amen.
And the word shall produce thousands.
Amen.
The word shall produce millions.
Amen.
The word shall produce results.
Amen.
And so Jesus did the same. It was empty containers, but Jesus said, fill it. After it's for food, he told them, serve it. And it was sweeter than before. Listen, this afternoon, we have come to empty you. Once you are emptied, then we will fill you back. By the time we all leave here, your ministry will be different.
Amen.
Sometimes it is not only laying your hands. It is understanding the principle. The Bible said, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so this afternoon, we are coming to empty you. Empty the old anointing inside you. I don't know about some of you, but I know about myself. Some of us who fry yam in the deep fryer. And some of us who fry chicken and fish in the deep fryer. Now, you pour a bucket of or a container of oil in the deep fryer. And you've been using it since. You use it for yam, you use it for cocoyam, you use it for plantain, you use it for fish, you use it for chicken, you use it for what the other things we fry. You know, meat. So you've been frying. And when it gets to a point, mommy, because you are a mother, you understand that once you put fire into that deep fryer, you hear the scent outside. But when you empty it, and you put a fresh anointing inside it. Listen, the fragrance is different. That's how I want you to feel this afternoon. That once you are empty, and a fresh anointing is put inside a container. Listen, when you are masked up, you can easily smell what is coming. The scent is different. And so when you have not been empty from a container to a container, your smell is the same. And he said, his smell has not been heard. Because you have not been emptied. And because you have not been emptied, we haven't understood your significance in the church. So it is the same product and it's the same thing we are experiencing. But this afternoon, what we are here to do as a prayer conference, number one, is to empty the container. Tell somebody, empty the container. I didn't hear empty the container. What I will do with you this afternoon is to help you by prayer to empty the container. When you empty the container, you will not feel it. It's up to you. I'll say it again. I'll help you to empty the container. That when I finish emptying the container, then I'll leave you alone. So either you feel it or not, it's up to you. And I pray that none of us will go home empty. Because it is by the feeling you become significant.
Yes.
And that is what we are here to do. You can't be using the same anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's not about who said it. It's not about when it was said or how it was said. But it is about what is being said. What is being said this afternoon is that we have been contaminated by a lot of things. These people were psychologically depreciated.
because they have come into a panic mode and they know that nothing good will come out of us. But God said, listen, you have stayed this condition far too long. Our ministry will be striving if we practice this principle of emptying and filling up. And that is what we are here to do this afternoon. Please be on your
feet. Empty it. Tell somebody, empty it.
Empty
it. I need you, empty it.
Empty it.
And some of us, it is not just the anointing. Issues. When you are empty, psychologically empty, your mind is empty, your heart is empty, then the Lord has the ability. Jesus said something the other day. He said, when you are about to give your offering, and you realize or remember that you have issue with somebody, he said, drop the offering where you are. But this day we can't trust you. When you want to go and drop the offering, you give it to me, I'll hold it for you. I'll hold it for you. Because the tendency is that you can change your mind. So I'll keep the money for you. Then when you have gone out there and emptied yourself, then he said, come back and watch. And fill yourself up.
Amen.
So this afternoon, we are going to empty ourselves. Amen. A lot of too many issues bothering us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of the mental things we are experiencing now is because the things that goes into us are not being emptied.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why would the things you eat must come out? It must come out because if it doesn't, you are not empty. But we must be empty. Jesus said, what goes into a man does not defile him.
Yes.
But what comes out of a man defiles you.
Yes.
And so periodically, you must be emptied so that the things that come out of you does not defile you. I think you are confused.
No.
Because the things that are choked inside you and you keep adding on to them, the metabolism will be increasing. And so the day it is exposed, it is only what curse that come out. But when you are empty, curse doesn't come out. But that's a blessing. And the Bible said, when a man's way pleased the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Because if you are about you, you are always being empty. And fresh oil comes into your system. And you become sweet again. This happened, you shall become sweet.
Amen.
Sometimes it's not makers. Sometimes it's not how eloquent you can dress or how smart you can be, because there are the people that are more smarter than who you are. But the only reason and the only thing that brings you to the level you are is because you are empty all the time and the Lord filled you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have PhD holders under the sound of my voice this afternoon. Why would a small boy who doesn't have a PhD be talking to them? It is because I empty myself and the sweetness comes out, and so Dr. Titus has no option that will be bringing me. Lift your heart to heaven. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him.
Yes, Lord.
Thank him. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Exalt the name of the Lord. Once he has spoken, twice have we heard. The power belongs unto him. Bless him. I'll bless the Lord at all times where his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof, and they shall be excited. Oh, magnify the